Greetings to the brightest audience in the nation. I am not Bob Enyart live. I am alive. I'm not Bob Enyart, but this is Bob Enyart live. I'm Doug McBurney sitting in as Bob continues the one last ditch effort for the Yanks to save the formerly Great Britain. Have we heard from Pastor Bob? Is he doing okay over there? Does it still need paint? That's the one thing I remember last time I was in Europe. Everything needed a fresh coat of paint. I have to ask him that if we're... Maybe he'll call in and give us an update on the whole paint situation in Europe. I was disrupted by the broadcast. I'm just finishing my 2014 taxes. I'm about to authorize my accountant to submit this document, and I've got it open on my computer right now. Well, here's the thing. My wife and I fell into a bad habit about 20 years ago of taking a six-month extension, and we've done so every year for 20 years. And so I'm just doing my taxes now, and they're due today. And my accountant just sent me the document, the actual. This is an 18-page document that I am about to submit to the federal government and the state government with my signature on it, swearing that to the best of my knowledge, this is all true. And I look at the document, I have no idea. I have no idea what this means. There's many boxes, there's many numbers, there's many lines. Here on one document, one page, I have line 1 through 30, and each one has a dollar amount associated to it, and I just hope it's right. Anyway, I'm glad I have a good tax accountant. His motto is, we'll get you out of jail if it takes 10 years. Don't worry. So anyway, we're submitting. I'm clicking right now. I'm going to authorize my tax accountant to send this document that I completely do not understand to the federal government, to which I swear and attest this is all true to the best of my knowledge. What else can I do? I don't know what else to do. All right, but I don't want to bore you with my personal problems. In fact, I want to start out by inviting you to the Denver Bible Church movie night, because we will be screening Patterns of Evidence, Exodus, this Friday night, September 18th, at 7 p.m. at Denver Bible Church. If you want to come out, it's only $100 per person at the door. Bring cash. I'll be there to collect it. No, it's not. There's no charge. We're not charging anyone to get in. Patterns of Evidence, Exodus. Was it Real Science Radio last Friday where Bob interviewed the Patterns of Evidence guy? Anyway, just very intriguing. Go back and listen to the past 5 Real Science Radios, and you'll hear the interview with the fellow associated with this movie. Very intriguing. And if you'd like to see it, the Patterns of Evidence surrounding the exodus of the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, which actually happened. It's real. It actually happened. And we have biblical evidence. We have a lot of extra biblical evidence. Sounds like a fantastic movie. You can call Denver Bible Church to get information on where to go to see the movie Patterns of Evidence, Exodus, at Denver Bible Church this Friday night, September 18th at 7 p.m., just call 303-463-1707. That's Denver Bible Church at 303-463-1707. Get all the information, and we'll hope to see you at the Denver Bible Church movie night. All right, there we go. We got that. I'll probably mention that again before we go off the air today. Let me set my Form 1040 aside here, and we'll move on to the news of the day. What is the big news of the day? I really haven't been paying attention. I've been trying to figure out this tax form all day because I've been a bit nervous that maybe I'm lying to the government and I don't even know it. And I hope I'm not. I just want to say, if there are any federal or state tax officials listening right now, I didn't mean it if I did something wrong. I didn't mean it. I've always been of the opinion that in order to have lived a full life, there are a few things that have to happen to you. Number one, you have to be put in jail or prison at least once. Number two, you have to be sued at least once. And number three, you must be audited at least once. and then you can die. So I've got two of the three are down. And I just know that lurking around the next corner is the tax audit. And I'm terrified. It wakes me up at night sometimes. I'm scared. I'm a free American living in fear that I may have made a mistake on my taxes 5 years ago that will cost me everything. They'll just come in and say, we're taking everything. So anyway, I just hope whatever mistake I made, I hope I have the money to cover it. That's all. I just hope I do, because it's only money. Right? All right. So I know nobody else is thinking about their taxes right now, because all you people are normal. You file on April 15th and you get it done. Not me. I drag it out for an extra 6 months just so I can suffer and be worried. All right. Meanwhile, Elton John has placed a call. No, Elton John didn't place the call. Vladimir Putin has placed a call to Elton John and suggested that maybe we can get together to discuss LGBT rights. Perhaps. If you would like to, please come over to Russia, Mr. Elton John, and we will discuss the LGBT rights. So Vlad apparently is going to sit down and meet with Elton John. Now, last we checked, Vladimir Putin was not a big fan of the whole homosexualist movement that seems to be sweeping the world. In fact, I think I saw them rounding up and arresting a pile of homos in Red Square not 2 months ago. Vlad was having them rounded up and arrested. As well they should be for marching down the street half naked and celebrating their sexual perversion. And so this is interesting to me that here's what Elton John says about the possibility of meeting with Vladimir. Elton says, you know, it's probably pie in the sky. He might laugh behind my back when he shuts the door and call me an absolute idiot. But at least I can think I've had the conscience to say that I tried. Unquote. That's Elton's. I don't know what would happen if Elton John sat down with Vladimir Putin. I think that within 15 minutes, Elton John would wet himself. That's what I think. I think he would look like the last time. Who's the white-haired homo on CNN who has the new show that nobody has watched for like 5 years? I'm looking at everyone in the studio. Nobody has a clue. Gloria Vanderbilt's son. No, that doesn't help anyone. 360. Anderson Cooper. It'll be like the last time Anderson Cooper sat down with Vladimir Putin. I think within 15 minutes, Anderson Cooper needed to change his undershorts because Vlad just scared him to death. I don't know that Elton John meeting with Vladimir Putin really is worthy of the opening news story of Bob and Yart Live. I don't know why I mentioned this story. I'm ashamed of myself, ladies and gentlemen. Let me throw that story aside and let's try to get to a major correction from yesterday's show. Because I misattributed sexual immorality because, well, the story was confusing and I was confused. And not only was I confused, but the Associated Press, was it? No, the Clarion Ledger down in Mississippi was confused about the campus shooting that occurred yesterday at Delta State. You're all familiar with the latest school shooting? I'm looking at the audience here in the studio. Nobody has a clue because it was just one guy who got killed and one lady at her apartment. And so there wasn't mass bloodshed, so it was hardly worthy of a news story. You know, there was a time in our country when a story like this where one professor shoots and kills another professor on a college campus would have shocked the nation for a week. And now it doesn't even make, none of you people even know about it. And you people watch the news. You listen to the radio. But nobody knows because we don't have time to cover the avalanche of bloodshed and murder that is engulfing our nation. There's no time to cover it all. But, well, I made a mistake yesterday in talking about the story because I read the story from the Clarion Ledger news outlet there in Mississippi. And they reported that Professor Ethan Schmidt was the victim, and that, let's see, Shannon Lamb was the possible killer, and that Lamb and the victim were romantically involved. And that's almost true, but not quite true. It's tangentially true, because it turns out that the two professors were men, and one of the professors was shacking up with a woman, and apparently so was the other professor upon occasion. One professor found out about the other professor shacking up with the girl that he was shacking up with, and he went and killed the guy, and he killed the girl, And then we have an update today from Fox News. An instructor at Delta State University killed the woman he lived with and a colleague. Shannon Lamb and Ethan Schmidt were apparently fornicating with the same woman. No, that's not from Fox News. I wrote that. Fox News doesn't even recognize the word fornication. If you say the word fornication to a Fox News reporter, they look at you with bewilderment. Like, what is that? I have to look that up. It reminds me of my bass player. When I first got out of the service, I formed a band. And we had a bass player who was a full-on Satan-worshipping freak. Just a maniac. And he had an album from a band that I will not identify. But the album cover, the CD jacket, opened up into an upside-down cross. And I was in this guy's apartment, and he showed me that album cover, and I got scared. Now, at the time, I was not a Christian, but I knew there was a God, and I didn't want to make him mad. And I had grown up in a Christian household, and I said to the bass player, I said, man, that's blasphemy. He said, what's blasphemy? I said, the upside-down cross, that's blasphemy. And he said, no, I mean, what's blasphemy? Anyway, he's still languishing in atheism. At least I had a long, drawn-out debate with him over homosexual marriage. He called me a bigot, and I called him a sex pervert. And it went on from there for about a month. We exchanged communications via Facebook. Well, anyway, he has not unfriended me. And so where there's life, there's hope. And I told him that I apologized to him for what I did 25 years ago when I first met him, and I was a bad influence on him. He was a lot younger than me. He was the bass player. I was the lead singer. I was in charge. Anyway, I was a bad influence on him, so I said, I'm really sorry I was a bad influence on you. I wish I would have done a better job of living a decent life when I knew you. I'm very sorry that that happened. And that's kind of where we left the argument, and he's still in favor of homosexual marriage, and I'm still not. Now, how did I get off on that? Because I was talking about this shooting in Mississippi. Oh, so it turns out Shannon Lamb and Ethan Schmidt were apparently shacking up with the same woman upon occasion. And Shannon Lamb went to the college, we believe he killed the woman he was shacking up with first. She has not been identified. He then drove to the university and killed the other professor. And then he was chased by police. He pulled his car over, jumped out, ran into some woods, and then shot himself dead. That's how it has all turned out today. A couple of interesting things from the story. The way they caught this fellow was because a license plate reader picked up his plate as he crossed a bridge over the Mississippi River. Isn't that interesting? That the law enforcement authorities have the ability now to track license plates at full speed on the highway. To me, that's amazing. And I think it's pretty cool. I think it's unfortunate that it's come to that, that we all have to have a big brother watching us at all times because of the criminal culture. But that's where we are. We're in the police state. Welcome to the police state. This is where you live. And it's not the fault of the policeman. It's the fault of the proctocracy, the governing establishment of lawyers who have constructed a civilization in which we are all expected to tolerate murder, bloodshed, fornication, adultery, sexual immorality. And so the increase in violence is exponential. It just keeps increasing, getting worse and worse and worse. No matter what anyone tells you, it's getting worse and worse. I mean, a professor shoots another professor and it's a blip on the news. That should be a sign to you of how violent a culture you live in. Something that should shock you, you barely even notice. Because who's got time for all this? So I thought that was it. The license plate reader thing is very cool. And you're telling me we can't figure out a way to do our taxes on a postcard? We can read license plates on a bridge at 75 miles an hour. You're telling me we can't fill out our taxes on one form? I got, how many pages was it? 18 pages. Anyway, the other interesting thing about the story that you probably missed about the college professor shooting and killing the other college professor right there on campus is that classes have been canceled at the school. That's one positive outcome of the story. but also that a candlelight vigil is going to be held in memory of the first fornicator, the one who got shot. Anyway, a candlelight vigil. When did this start? I'm looking into my studio audience. I have some seasoned citizens. They've been around for a few years. Do you remember when the whole candlelight vigil thing started? Because it used to be, when something like this happened, the whole town got together and they had a funeral at a Christian church and they prayed to God and they mentioned the gospel and everybody got really serious for a few minutes about the destiny of their eternal soul. But now we have a candlelight vigil. Everybody lights a candle and stands around in the dark and prays for peace. Or what do they do at these vigils? To me, a candlelight vigil, it reminds me of some pagan ceremony from the Middle Ages when the English were still painting themselves blue. I don't understand it. When did this start? Was it the 50s? It wasn't the 50s, right? It wasn't even the 60s. I think this started in the 90s. I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure the whole candlelight pagan thing started in the 90s. I refuse to participate in a candlelight vigil. I will not do it. If you want to have a ceremony in order for me to remember someone who's been horribly murdered, please have it in a Christian church and mention God, truth, heaven, hell, all of the stuff that people should think about when they hear that someone's been tragically murdered. This is the perfect time to get their attention focused on the fact that there's one thing we all know, is that we're all going to die. We're all going to die, and everybody struggles with that. Even the hardest atheist who mocks God and says that there is no God, in the depths of darkness at night, sometimes when he's scared and he's going through things, I can guarantee you he struggles with the fact that he knows he's going to die and he does not know what's next. So what better opportunity than a tragedy, a murder, or just a death to focus people's attention on what really matters, which is really eternity? I mean, this matters, what we're going through now, but eternity, that's a much longer period of time at least. And so no candlelight vigils for me. No, thank you. I'm Christian and I prefer not to participate. Oh, that's one thing I forgot to say on my show the other night. By the way, my show, which I'll promote right now, it's The Weekly Worldview. You can find it at theweeklyworldview.com. The show's on every Sunday night around 9 o'clock Mountain Time, give or take, depending on technical difficulties. You can Google Doug McBurney, go to iTunes, look up The Weekly Worldview. But last week on the show, this week, this past Sunday, I mentioned that I had gotten a letter, an email, from someone wanting to rent my house. And he wanted to rent it in order to grow marijuana. And he told me that right up front, and he offered me a bunch of money and everything. What I forgot to say is that I answered the guy. I forgot to give my answer. So I answered the guy very simply. I typed an email back to him and I said, "We are Christian. We prefer not to participate." That was it. So we're not going to rent our house out to a dope dealer. And we brought up Christianity right there in his face. Never heard back from the guy. But at least, hopefully, I made him think. I implied that he's not a Christian because he's willing to manufacture drugs and sell it to people. That's not a Christian thing to do, to destroy other people's minds and lives. Even though it's legal here in Colorado now to do that, to make money destroying people's lives, marriages, and minds. That's now legal in Colorado. Yesterday, we had here in the Denver metro area, we had a truck hit a bridge. By the way, marijuana is legal in Colorado. We have a lot more trucks hitting bridges out here. We had a truck hit a bridge. I don't know if the guy was stoned or not, but it just seems to be happening a lot more since they've legalized marijuana. Or maybe I just notice it more because I suspect that there's a lot more people smoking dope since they made it legal. That's my guess. Okay, so we've corrected the campus life story. Pope Francis. Okay, do we want to talk about Pope Francis? He's not a very popular subject generally with me. But when he says something I agree with, I have to give him credit. Pope Francis is saying that the European migrant crisis is being exacerbated by the fact that Europe no longer has any kids. He said the fact that you people don't have any kids means that eventually the migrants are going to fill the space. Somebody's got to pay for all the social welfare programs in Europe, and you're not having any children. So what do you expect is going to happen? The migrants, they're fleeing, as you probably know. Tens of thousands of people are fleeing the Middle East and North Africa due to the wars in Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, and there's probably at least two other ones that I'm not aware of. And these people are now washing up on the shores of Greece and Italy and Sicily, and the Europeans don't quite know what to do about it. They're having a bit of a crisis of identity because we all want to feel like we're good people, and if someone's fleeing a war zone, well, we want to help them. That's my initial reaction. I would like to help these people. In fact, the long-awaited meltdown of Glenn Beck has begun, surrounding this issue, as a matter of fact. Glenn Beck says he's on a mission. He's going to relocate Syrian refugees into the United States. And he says, if necessary, he will lead a group of refugees across the Mexican border in public in front of God and everyone. And he's willing to go to jail. So Beck has asked his audience for $10 million. He wants to raise that money before Christmas. And then he says he has his own former CIA cadre who are going to vet the Syrian refugees. And he says he's only going to bring in the Christians, or that's his primary goal, I should say, is to rescue Christians who are fleeing Syria and Iraq and Afghanistan. And he says that he'll do it. He'll walk across a bridge in Texas, and he's willing to go to jail if necessary. You people may remember last summer when the death trains were running out of Mexico. Do you people remember that? The trains were coming up into Texas with hundreds and hundreds of migrants, refugees, I don't know what you call them, illegal immigrants, on top of the trains. And Glenn Beck organized the distribution of teddy bears, soccer balls, and hot meals to the immigrants that were detained at the U.S. border, which I suppose that's an all right thing to do. But it kind of gave me an insight into the fact that Glenn Beck may be losing his mind. Now, here's what Glenn Beck says. He says, I'm not a preacher. Okay, I will agree with that. He says, I'm really underqualified for everything I've ever done. Okay, I'll give him that. I would say that. He says, but I know this, there will come a time that the Lord will say, I can't protect you anymore. The Lord is not going to punish us. He's going to allow us to feel the full ramification of our choice. Now, see, I agree with Glenn on that, but I think it's the wrong ramification that he's focused on. Let me give you my opinion on the migrant crisis, and I have not cleared this with Pastor Bob, so he may disagree with me. I did try to send him an email. But it's Europe. I don't know. He's in England. Do they have the internet in England? I think they do. Anyway, Bob's not checking emails for all you people who are trying to get a hold of him. So I ran this by him. I did not hear back, so I'm going to go ahead and say it and let the chips fall where they may. I would like to help the refugees coming out of Syria and Afghanistan and Iraq, but I'm afraid that I will not. I don't think it's wise for us as a nation to allow refugees in who could very well be infiltrated with a number of terrorists. I think the risk is too great, and I don't feel guilty about that. I know that there are tens of thousands of Christians who are fleeing Iraq and Syria right now. I know that. I also know that there are dozens, hundreds, maybe thousands of military-age men who are radicalized terrorists who will infiltrate those groups and come to our nation. So we have a very difficult situation. We want to help, but we don't want to expose our citizens to terrorists by inviting them into the country, allowing them to infiltrate in. And so this is where I come down on it. No, you can't come in. None of you can come in. And I know that means some of you are going to suffer and some of you are going to die. But that misery and that blood is on the hands of ISIS and Assad and whatever Muslim maniacs in that part of the world are driving that war and causing that crisis. That blood is not on my hands. And you've created a situation that's made it impossible for me to help you. And in the end, I know that the Christians are going to be okay. Even if they suffer and die at the hands of the militant Islamists, in the end, the Christians are going to be okay. So Glenn Beck says God's going to be upset with us, or he's going to remove his hand of protection because we don't take in refugees and terrorists. And Mr. Beck is incorrect about that. God is removing his hand of protection for the myriad other sins that our nation has endorsed and codified in law, like the killing of unborn children and the destruction of sex perverts by allowing them to marry one another, thus each accelerating the other's descent into eternal damnation. That's why God is removing his hand of protection from us, Mr. Beck. But I wouldn't expect Mr. Beck to know because he's a pagan. All right, let's see now. We have reason number 992 to keep your children out of the government school system. And we have Sarah Silverman, one of the most disgusting pigs on the planet. I'm not sure which one to end the show with. I wish I had something better to end the show with. These are not attractive options for stories. The University of California, who I believe, who took over there? One of the lesbians from the Barry Ho administration. She got let go. Yeah, anyway, I can't think of her name. Nobody knows her name. But anyway, one of the big, husky, clipped-haired lesbians, she's now running the University of California system. Former governor of Arizona, if I'm not mistaken. I forget her name. Anyway, they are considering a policy to make the university system free from acts of expressions. I'm sorry, free from acts and expressions of intolerance. Yes. The background for the proposed policy reads thus. The regents are strongly committed to a university community that upholds the core principles of respect, inclusion, academic freedom, and the free and open exchange of ideas. Accordingly, as discussed at the July regents meeting, a statement reflecting these principles has been developed and is outlined for discussion. So these are the, unquote, I'm sorry. That was actual live audio from the meeting. So these are the principles of the University of California system. What happened to truth and knowledge? How about loyalty? How about all of that? These are now, what happened to the University of California system? Anyway, that's reason number 992 to keep or get your children out of the government school systems. And Lord willing, I'll be back with you tomorrow. And until then, do remember to do right and risk the consequences.